Let's talk about Bluebird Improv coming to the Waterville Opera House July 28th, 7:30, and a great group of improvisers with you. Rachel Dratch, Tim Meadows, Joe Canale, Brad Morris, and rave reviews already. My friend Mark Larson saw you guys in Chicago recently and said it was great, so can't wait.
Yeah, we've been touring the country, and we're going back to Maine this summer. We had a blast, and we're excited to meet all these different audiences, and it's been really fun. Because we end up talking to the audience during the show and finding out different, rituals or themes that are specific to that area. And it's always interesting.
So what's the format for the show?
It's kind of, for a purist, I guess it's a deconstruction. We talk amongst each other, and then we talk to the audience, and we use all that material we treat it like a monologue that we can then deconstruct. So all that information that we informally generate, we then explore it through scene work and parallel scene work and try to create some structure to all of it.
Now, you studied in Chicago under the legendary Del Close. That's right at the altar of improv gods there.
He was the legend in Chicago when I started, and he had come back to teaching. He had gone out to try to be an actor in LA again, and he didn't succeed. So he came back, and he was full of excitement for all the new forms. So I benefited from Del sort of reinvesting in teaching, and I learned a lot. And he was, more than anything, he was the inspirational figurehead, because he had touched the robes of all the greats like Belushi and Farley, and and so he seemingly had the keys to success to all of us.
Is there something unique to Chicago that's made it such a hotbed of improv since the Compass Theater Second City days all the way through IO and beyond?
This is the question people always ask, and I don't know that I have a good answer. The best I can figure is that the evolution of improv began in Chicago with Viola Spolin doing improv games with immigrant children who couldn't even speak the same language. And downstream from that, you had people like Nichols and May and Alan Arkin and the early Second City people, Del Close, doing theater of the people, if you will, where they would just improvise a story in front of the audience. They were big on no fourth wall, I guess. They experimented with that a lot. And so Chicago lends itself because it inherited that momentum. And I also think Chicago has a general Midwestern collaborative nature in its heart. And I think improv requires that. I think you have to be a team player to be good at improv.
Well, you guys helped spread the gospel with Upright Citizens Brigade that launched in New York as a spread around the country. And I know my low-level improv group, we watch the videos, we love the format that you use, and it's such, not that all improv isn't audience-friendly, but it seems like you guys forged an even stronger connection with the audience.
Well, we spent a long time creating a book that sort of formalized what we believe is the best way to approach long-form improv, so we're sort of standing on the shoulders of greats coming out of Chicago. And then we learned some things along our way. So we sort of codified what we believe in that moment to be the best stuff. And then to that end, improv had started to grow unrelated to us in every college campus. There was this lo-fi startup that everyone could have an improv group, and they started doing it in high school and college. And it was really fun and challenging and engaging. And so it sort of caught on in its own right too.
This is a inside baseball kind of thing, but is there a tougher game, a more challenging game for improvisers than the Herald?
The Herald is tough because you're being judged inside very strict borders. There is an opening, three scenes a game, three scenes a game, and three scenes at the end. And you have to fulfill that. And so open improv, which is what we sort of do, we loosely use all the skills we have, but it can go anywhere, and certain scenes won't come back, or they might come back, but there's no expectation. So the Herald is sort of like the compulsory exercises in gymnastics. There is a platonic ideal of a double backflip, and you will be scored accordingly. And so I suppose there's a platonic ideal of a Herald, and you will be scored by the audience's expectation accordingly.
We're talking with Matt Walsh. You talked about collaboration, and to me, that's what makes improv so fun to do and such a great learning experience, is that if your goal is always, I want to make my scene partner look good, and if that's their goal, and if everybody approaches it with that intent, then ultimately you get to some really interesting places.
Yeah, it's, excuse me, a little tickle in my throat. There's, it's a balance between, I think, honestly, making the audience laugh, but also serving the ideas that are being hatched on stage. So ultimately, we want that audience to leave entertained, but we're also getting there by listening to our partner, letting go of our ideas, committing 100% to whatever happens and whatever characteristic I need to endow to make this world, you know, exist and succeed. So it's a combination of both of those things. So you're sort of writing on your feet, but we're all very experienced, so we make choices, or we're just inherently goofy looking people, so the audience laughs anyways.
I feel like with long form especially, you're not looking for the joke. If something funny comes along, sure, you grab it, but it's all about, well, like as the book says, truth in comedy, but very character-based as well.
It is, because sometimes a joke will sell out everything you've created, and so now where do we go? You sort of violate the reality if you've created. So you have to be very careful to stay inside the world and the fiction you're building, and so the jokes you make are based on sort of, if that's true, then what else might be true?
I work with high school actors, and we do some improv work, and I always tell them, and I believe this, that improvisation makes you a better actor because, first and foremost, it improves your listening skills.
The listening is everything in improv. You have to incorporate what people are giving you. You have to understand what they mean. They might say something, but there is a nuance in it. A level beneath what they're saying. So you really have to pay attention to other people. And that's what's beautiful about it. It is 100% giving your partner all the focus in the world. And that, excuse me, that serves you well in acting too. If you make it about your scene partner, it frees you up tremendously. And it also makes the scene flourish. And I often describe acting as like you do all this work before you get to set, and then you see this person you're in the scene with, and you just throw all that out.
Yeah, and then the audience becomes really a member of the troupe as well. You could be in the midst of doing a show, and you sort of realize whether it's a whispered aside or just a look to a partner, and you realize, oh, okay, this audience is going that way. All right, so now we know where to go. They're helping us forge a path on this journey we're taking together.
Yeah. And there's also this group intelligence. Sometimes the audience is ahead of you. Like they're laughing at something because they recognize something in the scene that you have not caught up to. Whether it's like, oh my God, that's the same doctor we saw earlier. And then you realize it like, oh my God, that's the same doctor we saw in the earlier scene. Whatever it might be, sometimes their group intelligence is ahead of you. And that's really fun too.
You've done some terrific acting work. Veep, obviously, a high watermark for, I think, comedy television. It's going to go down as one of the great shows of all time. Great writing, fabulous cast, and a chance to work with a guy we call the pride of Readfield, Maine, our friend Tim Simons.
Well, I wouldn't brag about knowing Tim Simons, honestly. I mean, he's a good friend, but he can be very trying. So let's just start there. His mom, Susan, is very sweet. So, yeah, Tim and I are good friends. And yeah, I have been exposed to Tim's Maine-ness for a long time. And we even do it, like you said, we even do a podcast together. Been doing it for many years. So I'm honored to have one of my close friends to be from Maine.
The show was so good, but it reached a point, I think we talked with Tim, we talked with Anna Klumsky about this, that as the real world began to intrude on the world of parody, it became tougher to do things that were just a little bit larger than life when you had real people in Washington doing equally insane things.
Yeah, there are many things that were pitched in the writer's room in later seasons, and people were like, that's too absurd. And then lo and behold, the reality of our political process got really absurd and insane. So there was no baseline, or there's no way to be more insane than the reality, unfortunately. So yeah, it became problematic to try to do satire in that environment.
Yeah, you did a terrific movie too, and I think you co-wrote it as well, Unplugging with Eva Longoria and another friend of our show, Leah Thompson.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Leah's a friend. And yeah, we shot that right around after COVID. And it's basically an exploration of like, how would we survive if we had no Wi-Fi and no bars? And it almost breaks apart a marriage, basically.
You had some great appearances on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. What's it like stepping into a series like that where you have an established cast? Is it easy to find that rhythm with everybody?
Yeah, I think I did a lot of my stuff with Andy and Joe Latrullio, both people I sort of knew. So that was like a kind of a luxury to have some previous history with those fellows. So that was good. And yeah, the jokes are so good on that show that it's kind of a delight to just give different versions of those jokes, quite honestly.
I happened to catch an interview recently where you said you've made two different movies with two different members of Wu-Tang Clan.
That's my bucket list. I'm going down the list. I made a movie called Not an Artist with the RZA, and then I made a movie called Relationship Goals with Method Man. So I got to tick them off my list.
Ghostface Killah is on line three right now. So
oh my God, let's make a movie. Let's make a movie. That'd be amazing if I got to do a movie with all of them.
I can ask you this, even though I'm in Patriots country, I grew up a New York Giants fan, so I'm suffering as well. So I asked, what's going on with your Bears?
I think it's very optimistic this year. I feel like Caleb will be really good. They put a lot of money on the offensive side of the ball and blocking, et cetera. They're very conscious of protecting him. And he was the third most sacked quarterback last year in NFL history, which is crazy. So I think we can only go upwards from that. And I like some of the draft picks. They got this kid Colson on tight end. They got a big tackle. They got a big ferocious defensive lineman. So I think I'm excited. You know, preseason, you're always super optimistic. And your Giants have a quarterback. Maybe we'll see him by the end of the year.
Yeah, we're going with the crusty old veterans to get us there for a while. We'll see how that all plays out. Apparently, Fran Tarkin decided at 86, he was just a little too old to jump in.
Is Tommy Red Sauce still there, Tommy Ragu?
I hope he's there. You know, he's always fun. Good to see his dad in the crowd. We love that. So
we'll fun.
See. I guess what I think has happened there is, because I thought there would be major changes to coaching staff and front office, I feel like there's a sense of urgency from these guys that we need to win some games this year to keep our job. So if that's what it takes to get them to 7 or 8 wins, so be it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah, I'm preseason, everything's great. You know, we'll see.
Bluebird Improv coming to Maine at the Waterville Opera House, July 28th at 7:30. Matt, been a fan of your work for many, many years. Looking forward to the show. Really appreciate you taking some time to talk with us today.
Delightful conversation. Thank you for having me.